This week on Desert Digest, Phoenix Magazine's dining podcast, we'll be talking to Valley chef Donald Hawk, late at the Gladly and pop-up sensation Koso and the Hako Taco, to talk about his new restaurant, Valentine, along with celebrity chef partnerships in the Valley and other wonderful tidbits and news items, all on Desert Digest. Welcome to Desert Digest, Phoenix Magazine's dining podcast. I'm Craig Outhier, editor. I'm here with Leah Lemoine, managing editor. Hey, Leah.
Hey, Craig.
This week, our guest is Valley dining chef extraordinaire Donald Hawk, late of the Gladly, late of the pop-up sensation Koso. How you doing, Donald?
I'm doing pretty well. Thank you for having me this morning. Well,
thanks for joining us. I know you're actually working right now. You say you're outside your restaurant.
Yeah, it's a little loud inside with everything going on.
It's the miracle of Zoom. You can do anything anywhere.
Yeah.
We're multitasking in our sleep.
Man, I should invest it in Zoom.
That's yeah, right. Well, you're outside your new restaurant, Valentine, in downtown Phoenix. We'll talk about that in a bit. But first, we're going to get into our news and notes sections we call Tip of the Tongue this week. So, you know, Donald, it's just local news bites, items, things like that. And we're going to start off with news out of the state capitol today that the state of Arizona has relaxed guidelines on COVID for restaurants and bars, respective to restaurants and bars. No longer required to wear masks or distance in any way, shape or form unless the, proprietor wants that. What do you think? Is this a good time to do it?
I'm not a doctor, I'm not a scientist. I personally think, and this might upset people, but we're still wearing masks here. We still socially distant, maintain social distancing here. Some of our guests, unfortunately, don't share the same thing, and we kindly ask them to wear masks. It's always been a fight, and regardless, you know, without being political, I mean, wearing a mask has always been kind of a political thing ever since it started happening last year. But
right.
Try to take precautions. We are currently trying to get all of our staff vaccinated as well through this whole process. Some of us already have. I have my first dose going next week, and most of our staff has the first dose as well.
Right.
We're also employees overtime as well as they'd like, or giving them time off if they need to go and get that vaccine, because we want to have this restaurant vaccinated. And we'll still take precautions even then until. Sure. Until the CDC says everything's done, we're not going to really change anything.
Right. Yeah. And obviously a lot of patrons still want that. They still want the distancing. They still want the precautions. Some don't, as you said. You know, I don't know where the trigger point is where, you know, people can finally, you know, decide for themselves when that point is. I think it's going to be a gradual process, but you're right. It's going to be another factor, I think, that patrons and diners will factor into their decisions when they go out and eat. But moving on to other news and notes this week and tip of the tongue, Valley chef Alex Strada, I think he's the only Michelin-starred chef in the Valley. What do you think, Donald? Is that probably accurate?
Yeah.
Michelin doesn't come to Phoenix too often.
No. I think, you know, wow. Yeah. I don't care about Michelin, truthfully. I know a lot of friends
I hear you. He also won a James Beard Award. He's changing concept. And he has his first restaurant since he's owned since he's been back in the Valley. And he won a James Beard Award back in the day at Mary Elaine's at the Phoenician. Moved to Las Vegas, started a bunch of restaurants there, got his Michelin stars because the Michelin guide actually goes to Vegas, and then moved back here. It's kind of worked at a variety of restaurants, started his own place in Scottsdale last year, Strada Kitchen, which was kind of a health food based concept. And now is going to close that restaurant, open a new restaurant called Campo, which he describes as a rustic Italian concept, more along the lines of maybe North, you know, from the Fox Restaurant Concepts group, farmhouse cuisine. So out quinoa salads, in chicken cutlets with marsala and wild mushrooms. Marsala chicken, essentially. Yeah. Right? I don't know. It could be. I love Valak Strata stuff, and maybe it sounds like a little more up his alley, not health food, more, you know, sinful.
Yeah. I think closer just to what he wants to do.
Right. Also in the news this week, Chino Bandido, which was, I guess, you know, sort of pioneered the Latin Asian fusion thing here in the Valley in kind of a fast food way. I don't know if that's, you know, they've been doing it for 20, 30 years. They're moving to the East Valley. I guess they're closing their Phoenix location. I always thought they were based in the East Valley because there was a Mesa or Tempe location back in the day. They might have closed.
There was Chandler and Dobson, Chandler Boulevard and Dobson. I used to live there over there in that area for the longest time.
But they're actually not moving to the East Valley. They're just moving into a different part of North Phoenix.
North Phoenix, is that it?
So they're moving closer to my house. I wrote about it this week for our blog, so everybody go check out our blogs. They're moving to 3rd Avenue in Bell Road from where they were at 19th Avenue in Greenway.
Right. Okay. So north, kind of north central.
Farther. Right. Yeah.
And my favorite quote from the owner, Eve, I was like, such a big part of Chino Bandido's appeal is the kind of bare bones, grungy aesthetic, like you eat on folding chairs and all that. And it's like, will that go away now that you have a new location? And she said, well, you can't put lipstick on a pig. She's like, Chino's is what it is.
Hey, know thyself. I love it.
So I just loved her like deadpan response to that.
Yeah, totally.
I love her.
Donald, you're a fan? Have you ever eaten there?
I'm a huge fan.
Right on. Yeah. Huge. It's dark food.
Much, but it's great. Really great.
Totally. Also coming into the Valley there's a Phoenix or a Payson based spaghetti restaurant called By the Bucket. You guys heard of this?
No.
That's great.
By the Bucket. Which, you know, talk about knowing your audience and not putting on airs.
Yeah.
There are no airs there. Yeah, I guess it's a spaghetti restaurant that people appreciate in Payson and people who vacation there know about. It sounds like a family restaurant. You know, where else are you going to load a bucket up with spaghetti and then, you know, I guess ladle it out to your whelp. It's right there. So they're coming into the Valley. Interesting news. So, you know, if you're a fan, it'll be coming closer. That's happening later this summer. And then lastly, Sam Fox, who we mentioned earlier, the Phoenix-based dining impresario, sold his restaurant empire actually to a private equity group. But he's still involved in managing the restaurants and it's still based in Phoenix. He and Justin Timberlake, you might have heard of him, you know, Bringing Sexy Back, all that, are partnering on a restaurant/cocktail bar concept. Unfortunately, it's going to be in Nashville, not here. Three stories of progressive dining and drinking. Sounds interesting. So I don't know if you can do anything with that information. If you're going to Nashville anytime this year, you might want to check it out.
I have friends in Nashville.
There you go. So that got me thinking, though, about other celebrity dining partnerships that have happened in the Valley over the, you know, decades. So I'm going to do a little quiz here between Donald and Leah. Each of you get 3 questions. We're going to keep score here. All right. This shouldn't be too hard. Last week, we kind of bombed out on this, Donald. We tried doing it. We had Renee Andrade on from Bacanora.
Yeah.
And I think he and Leah got maybe 1 question right between them. And they were just a little too obscure. But I've made these ones much more accessible. So here we go. First one for you, Donald. In 2007, winemaker Eric Glomsky, remember, these are celebrity partnerships, partnered with this alternative metal frontman to form Arizona Stronghold Vineyards in 2007.
Maynard?
There you go, Maynard. MJK, Maynard James Keenan from Tool. So there you go, 1-for-1. Leah, this one's for you. Celebrity partnerships. And this one's sort of a partnership, but while filming the war epic Three Kings in the Sonoran Desert, circa late 1990s, this movie star was a regular fixture at Cowboy Chow in Old Town.
Oh, Lord. I've never even heard of that movie.
Three Kings, about like, it takes place in the Gulf War.
Yeah.
No, heist. Donald, you want to take this one over?
Was he really?
Yeah. Who was it?
Oh, Matt, our producer, answered in the chat function.
Oh, he answered the chat. I was originally going to say George Clooney because I thought George Clooney. That movie.
Yes.
Was it?
Yes.
Oh.
It wasn't Ice Cube, although for all
I have too much of like a pop. I have too much useless information in my head, so that's probably why I just sent guests.
Sure. Through. This is why we're doing this. I'm trying to get sure. that useless, pry it out of your head, man. Yeah. No, that was with George Clooney and Ice Cube and the director, actor Spike Jonze. You know, for all I know, Ice and Jonze loved that place too, but Clooney was the one everyone said went there. Constantly. All right, Donald, you're actually at 2 points now. This might be getting out of hand for you, Leah, but next question's for Donald. After flattening MMA champ Ronda Rousey in a championship bout, this athlete celebrity invested in her brother's new distillery and bar in Old Town called Blue Clover.
I have no idea.
Oh, well, goes to you, Leah.
I do know this one because I've interviewed the owner, Weston Holm. It's his sister, Holly Holm.
That is exactly right. Holly Holm, she, you know, destroyed Ronda Rousey, knocked her back into the 90s, and then took some of that winnings and became a distiller. So nice little place, Donald. If you've never been, you know, it's distillery / bar / restaurants aren't terribly common in this town. So there's one. All right, Donald 2, Leah 1. Leah, this one's for you. This legendary Hollywood actor now owns a piece of the Scottsdale Fashion Square's luxury wing, which is a byproduct of him investing in this knockout Japanese restaurant, Nobu. Who is the actor? Here's another hint. Let's just say he's a raging bull for soy glazed black cod.
Oh, okay. It's one of the Italian ones.
One of the Italian ones.
Al Pacino?
No.
To you, Donald. Negro.
Alec Baldwin.
What's that?
This is Alec Baldwin.
No, it's Robert De Niro.
Oh, De Niro?
Yes, yeah, Raging Bulls. De
Niro's the one, yeah, he's invested, not Baldwin. That's right.
De Niro's an investor in Nobu, apparently. All right, still 2-1, Donald. This one's for you, Donald. When she's not prying into the secret lives of royals, this superstar media doyen rakes in the dough as an owner in Phoenix-based health food chain True Food. Who is she?
I have no idea.
Prying into the secret lives of royals. Superstar media doyen. No? Leah, to you.
No.
Oh, is it Oprah?
Yeah, it's Oprah.
Oh, okay.
Oprah's an investor in True Food.
I didn't know.
All right, so it's tied up. And this goes to you, Leah. This celebrity, foodie celebrity will open 2 eponymous restaurants in Scottsdale with the Caesars Republic Hotel project due later this year. Pronto and Luna. Who is she?
It's an actor, you said? An actress?
Foodie celebrity.
Foodie celebrity. Okay. I'm just going to guess Jada De Laurentiis.
Yes, it is Jada.
It is? Okay.
Wow, Lee pulled it out.
Thank you.
Donald, I hope you don't storm off the set.
No. No, okay. I mean, there's not much of a set anymore. Fun fact, when I went to Alameda Supper Club in Los Angeles, had dinner, I sat next to Jada De Laurentiis. It was her birthday, and someone spilled like a cake on her or something.
How did she handle that?
That was fine. I think it was just a tiny piece of cake. She just like stood up and wiped it off. I don't remember.
So, you know, not ruffled.
I mean, no.
If you're a TV star, you got to handle those moments, right? Was she nice otherwise?
She was pretty nice. I mean, she was enjoying her birthday.
All right. Cool. Well, it's good to see her in town. And, you know, that's an interesting project there in Old Town with the Caesars Republic Hotel. First Caesars property that will not have gambling, apparently. But lots of Italian food. So, again, a couple other things before we get into talking to you about your new restaurant, Donald. Openings this week, Carousel Arcade Bar in Glendale. Arcade bars are becoming very big. Just don't call them barcades. Barcades is a trademarked term, and we've gotten called on it before. It's an arcade bar. Yep. That's the generic term. Anyway, they have lots of shakes and, you know, old video games. Also opening this week in the East Valley in Chandler, Los Caciques. It's a Cuban restaurant. Sorry, I stumbled over that. They'll offer traditional Cuban fare like ropa vieja and bistec de res, along with Cuban pizza and some more modern things. So that's nice because since that Havana's closed, do you remember that place?
Havana Cafe. Havana Cafe over there near Buck and Ryder, where Buck and Ryder was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah. You know, since that closed, I'm not sure if I've been to a Cuban restaurant in the Valley, so that's good. Closings this week, Tuck Shop. They're in the Coronado area, which I always loved. It was, you know, DJ Fernandez started it. He's a architect. He also started that great French toast place on McDowell. I'm drawing a blank on.
I love it. Love the coffee, too.
Tasty. Mm-hmm. And Tuck Shop was always great. Cool food. Great, you know, spot. He designed it. And it's changed ownership since then. But now it's closed. It's going to be replaced by another restaurant people have really fond memories of, the Coronado, which was on 7th Street for a long time. Yeah. Vegetarian salad place. So they're gonna take over the Tuck Shop. And then the adjacent space, which was a barbecue restaurant, several other things, is going to be taken over by the St. Pasta guys. And St. Pasta was that pop-up pasta place that lingered longer. Yeah. So that's cool.
Great.
Cool stuff happening there. Almost as cool as the Valentine.
Yeah.
Donald Hawk's new restaurant downtown. Now, Donald, before we get into your history, I think you were known primarily for two dishes in the Valley. And they're both wonderful. One, the Hawko, in which you took a Jack-in-the-Box, one of those Jack-in-the-Box soy tacos, which I always loved. They're 99 cents for two of them. I can't tell you how many I've consumed after a night of profligate drinking when I was younger and didn't have a family. And then you wrap that in what? I forget. In
an egg roll from there.
That's right.
Yeah.
That is a Hawko.
Who knew?
When you order one, think of him kindly.
God.
And then the other dish is that wonderful brown butter, yellow fin sushi number you did at the Gladly. Mm-hmm. That you could just, it's truly addictive. I mean, you know, you have the lovely fish, the brown butter. I mean, it was one of those dishes. I wish I could order 10 of them and take them home and watch them in front of the TV and just eat them over and over again. It's hard to stop. So anyway, those are the two dishes I know you for, but I know you're doing a lot more at the Valentine. You know, tell the readers a little, or the listeners a little bit about how you started. I know that you, you know, you were at the Gladly, you had a pop-up restaurant called Coso, but I think your dining history goes a little back farther than that.
You know, I worked at a bunch of places, you know, when I was like 16, I started when I was like 16, I'm 34, I believe now. I lost track of time.
Yeah, me too, man.
Worked at Barrows and Nello's when I was younger because I needed something. I liked it more than school.
So, right. Pizza places?
Kind of stuck to that.
You worked for Bianco too, right?
I worked for Bianco. Yeah. I opened the Town and Country location of Bianco. That was before there was pizza.
Right. Right. That was when he just had, it wasn't Trotto. It was the.
No, Trotto was, that used to be a Greek restaurant.
Right.
I remember, which was crazy back at the time because they would have, it was like a weird specials board the Greek restaurant had. And it was this kind of weird patio because we opened that, the Town and Country location. No pizza, just pasta.
That's right. People wanted the pizza. They wanted it. People wanted
pizza. Yeah. Eventually they made it pizza, which is great.
Right. And you had the experience working in the other pizza places, Barrows So, where'd you go from Bianco?
I went there. I went to work at Noka.
Oh, with Chris Curtis?
Elliot.
No, it was Claudio at the time.
Claudio.
Claudio
Urcioli.
I worked for Claudio for a few years.
Is there a more beloved person in the Valley than Claudio in food? I mean, is he's a lovable dude, unless you're going to talk smack, and then we should just move on.
No. He's the most Italian man I've ever known in my life.
There you go. He's great. Now he has his restaurant. He, you know, is on 16th Street now. He's great. So you've learned, at that point you had worked with Bianco, you'd worked with Urcioli. And then where'd you go from there?
I opened in the time actually before Bianco, I opened Citizen Public House, with Bernie Kanzek, Andrew Fritz. I worked with them, you know, opened that for a year. And I wasn't sure I liked it. Like Bernie and I connected on like Polish and Hungarian food.
Yeah.
Cause I grew up in Cleveland during summers. And so kind of like connected on that.
Right.
But I really enjoyed it. So I spent a year with them. And then that kind of brings me back, you know,
took some time off, and I worked at Welcome Chicken and Donuts briefly. And then Bernie asked me to come to the Gladly because they needed some people. So I went in there, and he says, we have a raw bar. I said, cool, I'll do that. And it kind of blossomed into something else that
I didn't
know.
Would you say that's where you got your biggest lift in terms of visibility? And that's where I heard of you the first time.
I guess so. I mean, I didn't think of it like that. I don't really do things for visibility per se.
Right.
It's funny that, you know, we talk about the brown butter. I used to give that dish away to people because no one ordered it in the first 6 months ever.
Really?
Yeah. No one ordered it at all for the first 6 months.
That's horrible.
It is.
Pearls before swine, my friend. But once you started giving it away, it caught on. Have you always, I think I was looking at some of the other dishes you've done over the years, like a pierogi, and you also used a brown butter. Is it one of your, like, you know, favorite palates, favorite, you know?
It's just something different. I mean, everyone uses butter. I still always use brown butter just for like the flavor, the nuttiness,
sure,
the kind of toasty effect it has, kind of the depth it kind of brings as well.
Is that where you just kind of caramelize the butter, or is it a different kind of butter?
Yeah, no, we just caramelize the butter in a pan. Then when it gets the desired color, we add wine to it to stop its cooking process.
Right. Is that called beurre blanc? Is that the right?
Burn was that.
Gotcha. So you added it to fish.
Yeah.
And first people were not getting it, but then they got it.
You know, it's really weird. I mean, fish and butter have always been like, brown butter and fish have always been like a big French thing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and exactly.
I mean, that just happened completely by accident too, whether people want to believe that or not. I was like, let's serve brown butter with fish. And I had like the fish sauce vinaigrette.
Right. So it was like a happy accident, like a laboratory mistake that, you know, like the way that Corningware was invented. You're like, oh, this works.
Yeah. I once told that, I remember Howard Steftel came in, this is when he wasn't the critic anymore. I told him, you know, the dish was an accident. And he said, well, penicillin was an accident. And exactly. They don't really believe that.
Right. So Post-it notes, I think, were originally like napalm, and then it became Post-it notes. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, things happen like that. So, So you moved on from the Gladly. Now you have the Valentine. This is a downtown restaurant. Open for, you know, it's all day dining. You have a kind of,
I'd say central. It's like, remember, we're not too far away from down there. We're on 7th Avenue in Indian School.
Okay. You're more in the Melrose.
Yeah.
Melrose district. Yeah.
Yeah. And describe how that project came about.
Years ago, I got approached by the two principal owners, Blaze Faber, who is of Trotto, beverage director, and then Chadwick, his other partner as well, who worked at Trotto. They were asking me some ideas about the kitchen, and I didn't even think too much about it. And then they're like, do you want to do it? And at the time, I was trying to do another place with the current company I was at, and things just didn't, you know, I was still on that kind of path, like, oh, I still want to do a restaurant with them. And unfortunately, just things just didn't happen. COVID hit as well.
Right.
That kind of derailed everything.
Right. But it came, got re-railed.
Yeah, I got re-railed. And now... they were still opening everything.
Right. And it's a all day menu. You've got a great breakfast and brunch menu, but then you also have kind of a select, nicely curated lunch and dinner menu. I've heard great things about the burger. I've heard great things about the fish. What's the burger? Describe that.
I mean, the burger's simple enough. It's beef that we get, Arizona beef that we get from Roby Farms up in Glendale. Right. And it's a mixture of brisket and chuck. And then we bake the bun in house ourselves using squash. So it's like a potato bun, but with squash as well. Just some pickles and a little chili mayonnaise. And that's it. It's just simple.
Sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Awesomely simple. And then what's your kind of general thought about the restaurant when you were conceiving the menu? Like, where do you want it to fit in, you know, the Valley dining culture? What's your elevator pitch?
I mean, I think that for us right now, we're trying to kind of look at modern Southwest as well. I know we want to say modern Southwest, but it's more of like an Arizona restaurant of things that are here, things that used to be here without, I don't know. I look at two restaurants right now. Obviously, you know, you had Renee on last week with Bacanora. He's, you know, his Sonora style of what the food he does. And you have Chantico, who also does Latin food and South American food. And so for me, that's not of either of those descents. I try to kind of just use more of the terroir here. It's right now it's kind of minimal. Slowly we're kind of pushing forward more and more every day.
Right.
Use seeds and grains from here as well as the local producers. And just try to slowly figure it out. You know, we have a wood fire as well, so we do a lot of wood cooking in every aspect that I can possibly do. And slowly kind of look back and see what was, you know, what was available and not try to ride too much of a kitschy line at the same time.
Cool. No, I like it. And now you're open, fully open on Melrose, the Melrose district on 7th Avenue. Breakfast through dinner and beyond? You guys do cocktails?
So we do late night. So our hours right now is from Wednesday to Sunday, 7 a.m. till 10 p.m.
Cool.
And then on Fridays and Saturdays, we do late night food till 12 p.m. or 12 a.m. because we have a back bar that just opened, the 1912 bar. It's through the old vault. Cool. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Used to be a Paris laundry. So it was a vault, originally a vault where they'd washed furs in the 1950s.
That sounds very secure.
Yeah.
This is always what I look for in a bar, my friend.
Yeah. Solid concrete room, vault.
Great. And I love what's happening on Melrose. It's become walkable. You can walk from place to place. You know, this is a great time of year to do it. Once the guys up the street at Belly open, that'll be awesome. I love seeing a part of the valley achieve critical mass, you know, of cool restaurants.
They just opened, I think, fully.
Really?
Food's really good. Mike, you know, I've known Michael and Wayne for a number of years when they did the welcome. I was actually the very first night they were open when they were Old Dixie's at the old Welcome Diner spot. The very first night they were open, I was there. I ordered like the entire menu for like four people.
Awesome. And you said you worked with them for a little while at Welcome Donuts.
Yeah.
Awesome. Great guy. Yeah, super guy.
Fantastic as well.
Thanks for joining us today. Maybe hold on for one second. Leah's going to, we have a new segment here where she talks about a national kind of news item that's manifesting locally. I don't think we've named this segment yet, Leah, but if you have any ideas, Donna, let us know. Jump in, Leah.
Okay. So, like many, I've been captivated by the bagel brouhaha between New York and California and all of the think pieces that have come out since the New York Times critic Tejal Rao wrote about it. And so then I was thinking, what are the best bagel places in the Valley? So I have a few, but I'd love to get recommendations from you fellows as well, if you have any. Obviously, a big cool one is New Wave Market. So Country Velador makes her own. It's a 2-day process. On the website, she says they are not Montreal bagels. They are not New York bagels. They are Arizona bagels. And I thought that was really neat. Hers are denser and chewier. And I love that her salt bagel, instead of just like kosher salt, she uses Malden. So it's like kind of a fancy chefy touch. And of course, there's stuff like Chompies. And then I really like Hot Bagels in Delhi. It's a Northwest Valley thing. So the one I go to is at 59th and the 101. And they call themselves a copy of a New York bagel shop. They're from New Jersey. So super good there. And then my friend has recommended the Bagel Man in Ahwatukee. Have either of you been to that one?
Great. He's really great.
Old school. Been out.
Really great.
Yeah. So they say that they filter and soften their water like in New York, because people always say that that's the difference with New York bagels is the water. So they claim that they recreate that here. So I haven't been out to that one, but it's become highly recommended from friends.
Awesome. I suppose that makes a difference with pizza too. Didn't NYPD pizza try to, affect their water to mimic what you get in Brooklyn?
Mm-hmm. I think I'm doing that.
Any other bagel insights to lend us, Donald?
Man, you know, I know that Nelson's Meat and Fish on the weekends, they serve bagels from someone. I cannot remember for the life of me right now of what bagels they serve, but their bagels were always tasty. Leah mentioned New Wave Market with Country, like the bagels. makes is like fantastic. Another place I haven't been to yet, I hear a lot of great things, is Stoop Kid.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. That's
a lot of wonderful things about them.
Mm-hmm. Where's that located?
That is at, I believe, just off south of Roosevelt, First Street, just south of Roosevelt.
Oh, cool.
In the Churchill.
Yep.
And it was in Churchill. Nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I had the Negroni of a lifetime there a couple weeks ago. One of the owners dabbles in Negronis, and it was awesome. It was $20, but ooh. Hey man, you know, we're in the Negroni era. People love it. It's like after Stanley Tucci did that tutorial, I think it's become a national obsession. So, great. Donald, thank you very much for joining us on Desert Digest, our professional but still somewhat amateurish attempt at doing a dining podcast.
Yeah, no worries.
Great. And everybody, make sure to visit Valentine this spring and summer. Sounds like a wonderful restaurant. Our dining critic, Nick Buchanan, has visited and said it was the cat's meow. So,
oh, great.
Meow, meow. And next week, we're going to have Anthony from Santam Brewing on. He's going to talk about their distilling program there in the East Valley. And that sounds great, too. So thank you, everyone, for coming. Thanks again, Donald, for showing up. And we'll see you next week.